We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. I hope you're all having a great weekend. I am. And it's a kind of a muggy summer, isn't it? It's probably the most humid summer I remember, but that's okay. At least it's not cold and it's not snowing, so I appreciate that. All right, this is the show about you, the show about what you look like, about what you look like in the mirror, and to you and to other people. This is the show about wrinkles and about splotchy pigmentation and about jowls and about large noses and protruding ears and small breasts and droopy breasts and things like that. This is the plastic surgery show. This is the skincare show. This is the sort of the dermatology show, although not quite, but this is the show about you. So give us a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Now, I do have to tell you that at the end of last show, literally the last 15 minutes, the board was flooded with phone calls. We were a little light in the beginning of the show, and then it was just flooded. Everybody wanted to get their questions in. And we could not get to most of those questions. So please call me early in the show. Don't wait till the end. It's an hour show. I wish it were 2 hours, but no, it's only an hour. So give me a call, 800-848-9222. And we're going to send you a bottle of Nighttime if you do come up with a question. You can't call in. I get these every now and then. People call in and they just say, I don't have a question, but I'd like my Nighttime. Doesn't work that way. You have to work for your Nighttime. You have to give me a good question. And Nighttime, what is it, you say? Well, it's the one-stop shopping for skincare. It's everything you need in a skincare program and nothing you don't need. So I don't have plant stem cells in there. Isn't that a ridiculous concept, plant stem cells? I'll tell you why later in the show. I don't have hexapeptides in there, another ridiculous concept. I don't have the things that people put in their skincare that can't possibly do anything. I just have vitamin C, vitamin A, fruit acids, and things like licorice extract. That's a good one. That's a skin brightener. And milk thistle and niacin. That's what's in my products. Good things. I try and eliminate anything that looks, sounds, or seems toxic. And a lot of you may have seen the paraben story. It was in the news again this week because parabens are a carcinogen. And there's a lot of rumblings that the FDA should get these off the market. Well, I don't have parabens. They're preservatives. I don't have parabens in my skincare. I never did. I never would. And I really try very hard to make my skincare as safe as possible. So a bottle of Nighttime is yours if you give me a call this evening. And by the way, we do have a special this week. I know a lot of you ask for specials. All right, it's a buy one bottle of Nighttime, get one free. Buy one bottle, get one free. You have to use the good night code. Good night. Good night code. It's and that's N-I-G-H-T, not you millennials spelling it N-I-T-E. So good night, and you get one bottle of Nighttime free if you buy one other bottle. And again, a lot of you have been asking, well, why are you giving away Nighttime? Why are there all these specials? In just a few weeks, we've got a new packaging coming. I've been mentioning this for a couple months now, but you know, we order by the tens of thousands of these bottles, and we have to make room in our not so enormous warehouse. It's reasonably big, but we have to make room for the new Nighttime. So the old stuff is perfectly good. It is absolutely pristine, but it's in our old packaging with the flowers. We've gotten rid of the flowers. Some of you didn't like the flowers. Some did, but, you know, what can I say? About half of you like it and half of you don't. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is the show about you, so let's start talking about you. Tonight we're going to talk about breast augmentations, but a little bit different topic than we usually talk. We talk about kind of the standard augmentations. I did a very difficult one this week, and you say, well, what's the difference between a difficult breast augmentation and an average breast augmentation? Well, we'll talk about that and why this particular augmentation was a little more difficult than usual, and I used a very special substance with the breast augmentation this week, and we'll talk about that. So if you have breast implants or if you want breast implants, this is a show for you. Or if your daughter is thinking of getting breast implants and you're wondering, are those things safe? Well, let's talk about that during this show. So you can give me a call, 800-848-9222. We're also going to talk a little bit more about eyelid surgery and what is ptosis. Do you know what ptosis is? I bet you don't know how to spell it. It's P-T-O-S-I-S. The P is silent, ptosis. So we'll talk about ptosis, and I'll talk about eyelid surgery and brow surgery this week also. So we've got a lot to talk about during the show today. And we'll talk a little bit about Plexaderm. A lot of you have been asking me about Plexaderm. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you about it. So during the show, give me a call, 800-848-9222. And did I tell you we're also going to be talking about hand rejuvenation with the laser? Now, this is something new, relatively new. I mean, it's a few years old. It's not brand new, but it is really catching on now. And I've been doing the lasers. I did my own hand with the laser, and I'll talk to you about that. You know, I always joke with my nurse about operating on myself. You know, some Monday morning she'll come in and find me on the floor after I've lasered myself and passed out, but hopefully not. It's actually not bad. It did not hurt when I did it to myself and not to the patients last week. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? 1-800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. So, breast augmentations are one of the most popular procedures in all of plastic surgery. And every year, it's either breast augmentation or liposuction vying for that number one position in terms of the most popular surgical cosmetic procedure. Now, of course, Botox and wrinkle fillers dwarf the surgical procedures. Literally, maybe 10 times as many of those. Let's see. Let's do the math. There were 6.5 million Botox injections last year in the United States, and a couple hundred thousand, I think it was around 300,000 breast augmentations, something like that. So it's a lot more, but those are the non-surgical things. As far as surgical procedures go, it's breast augmentation and liposuction number one and two. Some years it's one, some years it's the other one, but I've been doing breast augmentations since way back, 1985. I did my first one as a resident at the University of Chicago, and the implants in 1985 were made of silicone, otherwise known as silicone gel. And we used implants that some of them were just a very loose silicone gel. Some were made of saline, but they weren't that popular in the 1980s. And what's saline? Well, of course, there's silicone in it. It's like a water balloon. So there's saline is just salt water. And the outside of the balloon was made of silicone. So some people said, I don't want silicone in my body. They still got it because the outside was made of silicone. And then there were the polyurethane implants. Some of you might remember those, and I hope not too many people have those in them. I never liked the polyurethane implants. Polyurethane is a type of a plastic, and it degraded very rapidly. I remember reoperating on someone about 6 months after I put polyurethane implants in, and almost all the polyurethane was gone already. Where does it go? Oh, I don't know. In your liver? Who knows? Well, we don't use those in the United States anymore. So we just use the silicone implants. That's all there is. But different types of silicone implants. So 1962, I believe that was that first year that silicone breast implants were placed in women, and I believe it was in Texas where they were done, and boy, it really caught on. In the 1950s, there were some very daring and not so bright plastic surgeons that actually injected silicone into breast. That was a real bad thing. We're going to talk about that also later in the show if we have time. Injection of silicone, not so good. So in breast augmentations, that was done, but that went out in the late 1950s, early 1960s. And then those bags of silicone were placed. There were a lot of issues with the implants. We went through a lot of phases. There was a moratorium in the 1990s for breast implants. Some of you may remember that era. We didn't have silicone gel at the time. We just had saline implants. But the gel implants were placed back on the market several years ago. And we've been placing silicone gel implants in. And the big thing, the big change was a few years ago, when the gummy bear implants were FDA approved. So those gummy bear implants, they're also called form stable implants. They were a giant step forward in the safety and the effectiveness of silicone breast implants. So we're going to talk all about those gummy bear implants and some new things with the implants. But let's go ahead and take your John's call. John, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Yeah, hi. My girlfriend wants to get breast implants, and she's really thinking about, you know, going big, and she wants to know, like, what's the safest breast implants.
Okay, John. So, you know, there are right now four different types of breast implants. So there are the saline implants, which are saltwater implants. They kind of feel like a water balloon. They don't feel too natural. Very commonly, you feel and see ripples in the implants. I'm not wild about saline implants anymore. I put them in women who are afraid of having silicone in their silicone gel in their body. And there are some women that just don't want to be bothered with it. The small chance of a rupture of an implant scares some people. So we use a silicone gel. Now, there's still silicone. The gel that's been around since 1962, it's very similar in the implants. I don't put those in anymore, because now we have those gummy bear implants. And the gummy bear implants are, in my opinion, much better. So, John, hang on the line. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll talk a little bit more about breast implants. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, the board-certified plastic surgeon, host of What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. 800-848-9222 is our phone number. We're talking with John, and John asked the question, yes, what's the best type of implant for his girlfriend, best type of breast implant? So there are different types of breast implants. We talked about the saline implants, which are good, you know, but they tend to show ripples, tend to be more palpable. That means we can kind of feel the ripples and realize that if someone has very small breasts, then, you know, you really feel that there's almost like a water balloon in there. So if someone has larger breasts and they want to go up maybe one or two cup sizes, then the saline implant is a more reasonable idea, because there's more breast tissue to hide the implant. But the most natural feeling implants are those new gummy bear implants. And the reason I really, really like these implants, and I didn't think I would, I'll be honest with you, but the reason I do is because now they come in all different shapes. The old ones were just round implants. And whatever the shape of your breast was, it was just a magnification. We just made your breast larger with implants. But now, with these new implants, we can shape your breast with the implants. And what that means is, if you have kind of a funny shaped breast, then you're more likely to get a good result with these new implants without having to make incisions on the breasts that are visible, like incisions around the areola, which is the pigmented area around the nipple, things like that. So the shaped implants, they come in different widths and different heights and different projections. And really, there's hundreds and hundreds of different sizes now, as opposed to just a few sizes for the old implants. So the gummy bear implants are, in my opinion, better. If they do rupture, the silicone does not spread the same way the old silicone spread. The old silicone, you know, it was kind of an issue. In many cases, if there was a rupture, I had to remove silicone from around the breast and in the armpit, and sometimes even down onto the belly, believe it or not, for ruptures. Now with these gummy bear implants, that doesn't happen, because the material doesn't go, it doesn't travel. And the reason they call them gummy bear, by the way, if you've ever eaten those gummy bears, you cut into them or you try and chew them, and the gel material doesn't spread like a goo, like the old stuff does. So I really do like the gummy bear implants. There are some new implants out there. There's a new one with these. I talked about it a few months ago on the show. I haven't used it yet. They have these cells of saline inside the implant. I'm not sure about that implant yet. I'm not sure whether I'm going to use it. But, John, it's your girlfriend also talked about the size, and I do want to caution people. The larger you go with breast implants, the more problems you're going to have, she's going to have, over time. And I know that a lot of people think, well, you know what, let's get our money's worth, let's just go huge, you know, and it just doesn't work that way, because you might look good in the beginning, but the larger her breasts are, the faster they are going to droop, that's one, the more stretch marks you can get, the more misshapen they can get over time. So I do caution women, and I like people to be kind of an average size. And what is an average size? It's a big B, small C. I do get concerned when people go too large. If you if a woman really wants to be a D cup, I will advise them that that might not be the best thing. But of course, I will do that within reason. But if you want to be enormous, well, you have to find a different plastic surgeon. I will not make women enormous. Like you hear about these celebrities and these people that think it's a contest how big they can make their breasts. You know, it's not about that. Really, breast implants are a wonderful tool to make women feel normal, just normal. A flat-chested woman who lacks self-esteem can fit in proper clothing and feel better about herself with implants. So, John, that's my recommendation for you.
Thank you so much, doctor. Thank you so much, doctor.
I'm very happy to help you. Thank you for calling. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. So we'll get to your question in just a minute, Al, but I want to talk a little bit more about these breast implants. So the gummy bear implants are really a very, very nice implant. I didn't mention that there are smooth implants and there are textured implants, and that's the surface. Now, most implants placed in the United States are smooth. There are about 75 to 80% of implants are smooth. But the problem with smooth implants is that they do have the potential to move in the pocket. And what's the pocket? That's where I place the implants. You know, we lift up the skin and we lift up the breast tissue, and in most cases now we place the implant beneath the muscle, and that's the pectoralis muscle. So there's a pocket, and just like a pocket in your clothing, if there's a smooth, let's say a water balloon in your pocket, it can kind of move around in your pocket. But if that water balloon has Velcro on the surface, it's going to stay exactly where you put it in your pocket, right? I mean, it's the same sort of thing with these new implants that are textured. They're just like Velcro. When I put those in the pocket, it's really very difficult to move them around even in the operating room. So why don't we just do that in everybody? Well, you know, for many, many years we did. There are now some cases, and I'm sorry to say this, of lymphomas, which are a type of cancer. There's about 75 now reported in the world, and we're talking about millions and millions and millions of women that have breast implants, but almost all of those are associated with textured implants. And they occur about a decade after implantation. Now, they're very, very rare. The FDA is not advising, plastic surgeons and oncologists are not advising women to have their implants taken out if they have textured implants. Yes, we're still putting textured implants in, but it's just something that has to be discussed. It's a benign form of lymphoma, and you know, what does that mean? What's a benign form? Well, it's the type that's treatable just by removing the implant and the capsule, which is the scar tissue around the implant. So it's got to come up in the discussion when we talk to you about breast implants, and it's one of the things that we talk about, as well as what type of implant, what the location that we put it in, what's the incision, all sorts of things. A breast augmentation consult is one of the longest consultations that I do. It really takes over an hour to do a consultation properly, because there are so many issues with these implants. And after our next call, I'm going to talk to you about placement of the implant and how they can move. But let's go ahead to Al's call. Al, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Hi, Dr. Perry. How are you? I enjoy your show very much. Long-time listener.
Thank you, sir. What can I do for you?
I'm 42 years old. The past 10 years, I've been noticing more and more my mouth lines or laugh lines, they've been getting more and more noticeable.
Okay, Al, now, let me ask you something, Al. Are these the lines around your lips, or are they the folds that connect between the corner of the nose and the corner of the mouth?
From the nose to the mouth.
Right. So those are called nasolabial folds. We've got a name for everything in plastic surgery. And that's a lot more common. The reason I asked is in a man, that's much more common than to get those lines, those like spokes around the wheel, the lines that occur around women's mouths. Even in smokers in men, they tend to not get too many of those wrinkle lines. But those folds that you're talking about are very common in men and women. So what do we do? The most common thing, Al, is we call it wrinkle filler, but it's just a filling material, and there are different types. When we fill those folds, the way to look at the fold, by the way, Al, it's sort of like the Grand Canyon. Have you been to the Grand Canyon?
I've never been there.
It's one of the most beautiful places on Earth. But when you go to the Grand Canyon, you look down, and way down in the bottom is the Colorado River. Now, the way I look at the nasolabial fold, you have the Colorado River way on the bottom, and that's the fine wrinkle. And most men don't get that, but you get the Grand Canyon, and that's the nasolabial fold. So we treat the fine wrinkle and the deep fold differently, Al. We treat the deep fold with a wrinkle filler called either Radiesse, R-A-D-I-E-S-S-E. That's made of calcium hydroxylapatite, big words, but that's the building block of bone. It does such a great job filling the nasolabial fold, as does something like Restylane Lift or Restylane Define. There are different types of materials, but the one thing that we really need for that fold is something that is fairly thick. So we can't use the fine fillers that we use for the little lines around the lips in women or the under eye or in the lips. We can't use those for the nasolabial fold. But that's the preferred treatment. Now, there's two other things that possibly can be done for the nasolabial fold. That's always the first step, Al. But if you have really deep folds, then one of the things we do is called an incisionless wire release. That's a lot of words. And that's a very uncommon procedure, but it's a good procedure for people who have really deep nasolabial folds. And what it is we take, now some of you may get a little squeamish when I describe this procedure, but we take a wire with a needle on the end of it, and I put it underneath the skin, and then out of the skin and back in, encircling the nasolabial fold so that the wire is now completely under the skin. A little hard to envision, but if you go to my website, I talk about this. It's periplasticsurgery.com. We go underneath and then we saw through. Oh, boy, now everybody's getting squeamish. We saw through the underlying tissue from the nasolabial fold, and we free it up. And we destroy the connections between the nasolabial fold and the tissue underneath. And then we fill it with one of those fillers. That is a very aggressive way to treat the fold. Usually not necessary, And I've done it probably a dozen times in my career. As opposed to thousands and thousands of times that I've filled the folds with a wrinkle filler. There's also one other thing that is very occasionally done, and that's actually excising the folds, cutting them out. And the only reason I mention this is some men, particularly men in their 40s, who have really deep folds, that might be the answer. So there's a few different approaches, but always, Al, the first one is to get some filler because that is the simplest. You go in, get numbed up, have filler placed in less than an hour. You go out and you're at work the next day. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling. What's Your Wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is the only show in the United States that talks about things like the incisionless wire release, I promise you. All right. We're going to have another half hour of the show. Stay tuned. 800-848-9222. We'll be back after these words.
What's your wrinkle? Dr. Arthur Perry.
What is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show for 13 years on Saturday evenings. If you've got nothing to do, this is, even if you do have something to do, you really have to make room for the show. If you're interested in what you look like, if you're interested in cosmetic surgery, if you're interested in improvement of yourself. In many ways, we talk about all sorts of things on this show. And tonight, we're going to mention Plexaderm. A lot of you have seen the commercials on TV. They're really incredible. They're some of the best commercials I've ever seen. My good friend John Greenhut, and we did Night Skin together. Remember that great product that I did? Now we have Nighttime, but John's not part of that one, but he's got Plexaderm. This is a great product, and I'm very happy that I'm able to talk about it on the radio. Now, here's the story with Plexaderm. It's not skincare. So it's not going to, if you put it on every single night for a year, it's not going to make a difference. It's not vitamin A, vitamin C, things that I have in my skincare. It's more like a cosmetic, but it is really a space-age cosmetic. This is something that you put on your skin. You can put it on under your eyes. You can put it on your cheeks, on your forehead. And in minutes, your wrinkles disappear. And how does it do it? It's real. How does it do it? Well, because there's these, he calls it a clay-like substance. Chemically, I believe it's a silicone, you know, kind of like those breast implants, but it goes on, not really, goes on your skin, and as it cures, as it dries, your wrinkles go away. It is so cool. You've seen the commercials. It's real. You know, when it first came out, I said, John, send me some for my wife. I've got to look at this stuff. And I put it on my wife, and sure enough, just like the commercials, it really does work. Plexaderm is really cool. But what happens is if you wash it off, your wrinkles come back right away. You know, I call those the Cinderella products. Remember what happened to Cinderella, you know, the middle of the night, you know, but that's what happens. But that's okay, because if you're going to an important meeting, or if you're going on television, if you're you know, if you want to look good for a date, something like that, you want to cover those wrinkles, Plexaderm is the product for you. And you might say, well, Dr. Perry, didn't I hear you talking about these wrinkle products, these instant wrinkle products that are dangerous? Not this one. There are two different classes of these wrinkle products. Plexaderm is one, and that is safe. That's fine. The other ones are the swellers that cause your lips to swell. They've got these caustic chemicals like capsaicin and other things, and they cause you to swell, just like those old Katharine Hepburn movies. Remember, she would, you know, slap her face to get rid of the wrinkles. That was the inflammation, the swelling that got rid of wrinkles. That's not good for you. In fact, that can actually cause a condition called blepharocalasia, which is a repeated swelling of the eyelids. You know, it goes up and down and up and down. You wind up getting more skin. Not so with Plexaderm. Plexaderm is a temporary approach for wrinkles, and it is really very interesting. John likes my show, so thank you, John. He listens, and he's given me an 800 number for you to call and get 50% off Plexaderm. 800. You ready for this? Write this down. 800-925-9963. So that's 800-925-9963. You get up to 50% off the normal retail price. Tell them you heard me, you know, you heard about it on the Dr. Perry What's Your Wrinkle show. That's 800-925-9963 for Plexaderm. You will love it. And give me a call when you use your Plexaderm, and we'll talk about it on the radio. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. Howie, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle? Did I lose you, Howie?
Hello?
Hello, Howie. Can you hear me? Come in, Howie. Go ahead. What can I do for you?
My question to you is, what do you recommend for spider veins? I have them pretty bad on my thigh, and any doctor I've spoken to says it's purely an aesthetic issue. It's not really a medical problem. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but what do you have to say about it?
Well, certainly I advise getting looked at by a vascular surgeon if they protrude from the legs. Mm-hmm. So if they don't protrude from the legs and if they don't hurt, then they're not varicose veins. So you have to make that distinction, whether they're varicose veins, which are a medical issue, as opposed to spider veins, which are a cosmetic issue. Once we establish that they're cosmetic, then the treatment is one of two things. It is either injection, and that takes a lot of skill on the doctor's part, injecting with I prefer the 23% salt water solution. So your body's made of 0.9% salt water. So if we go, you know, 23, 25 times as high, what we actually do is fry the inside of those blood vessels. Okay. And it works. We get rid of a lot of those. Depends on the size of the blood vessel. But injection, it's called sclerotherapy, works fine on the legs. Another way to do it is with the laser. And there are lasers. I use a YAG laser. The laser can be used. There are advantages to both techniques. I think that the sclerotherapy is more effective if you have a lot of these things. But the laser also does work if you have just a few, or if you have just kind of a blush appearance of the skin where there aren't discrete blood vessels, then the laser works very well. Now, on the face, by the way, I know you're talking about your legs, but if we do the face, we always use the laser. We never inject the capillaries. That's what they're called in the face, or the venules, the little tiny veins of the face. We always use the laser, and it's called a YAG laser, Y-A-G, and it works very well. It'll get rid of about two-thirds of the capillaries of the spider veins. And in fact, both techniques, it's about two-thirds gone. You know, we like it to be 100%, but it doesn't work that way because your body just thinks, I've injured you. It doesn't know we're doing this for fun. And it tries to channel through and reestablish those little capillaries again. So your body is good at fixing itself, and it kind of defeats some of the cosmetic benefit that we do. So usually when you have a treatment, whether it's sclerotherapy with injection or whether it's the laser, it takes a number of sessions to achieve your goal. And that really depends on how meticulous you are. Some people say, you know what, you got rid of the big ones, that's it, we're good enough with one session. And some people do three sessions, some four, some five, something like that. Okay, Howie?
One last question.
Yeah.
Do these techniques, on the area that you do them, do they last, you know, permanently or quite a while? Does one technique tend to last longer than the other, or how does that work?
Well, it depends. It depends on what's causing the spider veins. So if you're someone that stands all day on your legs...
I walk a lot.
So. Yeah. You know, what I personally recommend, the best thing that you can do, and I'll tell you, women who are pregnant or if your daughters are pregnant, I can't understand why obstetricians don't tell women to use the compression stockings. And there's a new generation of compression stockings. There's a company in Brooklyn. Now, they're not sponsors of mine. They should be. They're called Mojo, M-O-J-O. They make the best and least expensive compression stockings, and you feel so good when you wear. I've been wearing compression stockings since I was a medical student. I've actually had a couple vein strippings, you know, for varicose veins in my leg. So I wear these things all the time. And this new generation with this one company, they're about a third the price of the big companies out there. So they should really, don't you think they should advertise that much? I think so. But anyway, they got their free ad. So, you know, that's a good thing to do because that will prevent's a bad word, that will stall the development, the redevelopment of the capillaries of the spider veins and the varicose veins. And whether you use them up to the knee or up to the thighs, or in women, they have pantyhose ones that go all the way up. That's what you should use in pregnancy. You know, they're very good. So the causes of these spider veins, they're less likely in men than women. They are somewhat hormonally mediated. And certainly during pregnancy, they're very, very likely because of the fetus sitting on those big veins inside the pelvis. They tend to cause swelling of the legs and spider veins. And that's why women who are pregnant should be wearing these compression stockings. They're also good at decreasing the swelling that you get if you fly a lot. Because, you know, in aeronautical medicine, it's well known that a lot of people get swollen legs when they fly. And if you use the compression stockings, and you need at least 20 millimeters of mercury, by the way. So you look at these things. If you go to the drugstore, you might see ones that are just these little white stockings. They don't do anything. You have to get up, and you can get them without a prescription now. They're called compression stockings, and you start at 20 millimeters of mercury and work your way up. All right. So Howie, that's what I would suggest. And if you do that, if you wear the stockings, then they're less likely to recur. But the other thing that I mentioned right from the beginning was you have to make sure that you don't have a component of varicose veins, because if the varicose vein is not fixed, or the faulty valve by a vascular surgeon, like my good friend Neil Kane over at NYU, if you let him fix that, then they shouldn't recur the same way. If the valve is bad, or if you have varicose veins that you don't even know, they could be deep, a little deep, and you might not realize that, then if you treat the spider veins and you don't treat the varicosity, they're going to return. So you have to be careful. All right?
I see. Great. Thanks for the information, doctor.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And we've got more calls on the board, but we're going to have to take a short break in just a few seconds. So I got an email during the break, during that last while I was talking. It said, give the number for Plexaderm ad again. It must have been John Greenhut asking me to do that. 800-925-9963. 800-925-9963. That's the 50% offer for Plexaderm. Okay, so actually that was Elaine that sent that email. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We'll be back after these four words. 800-848-9222.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And the phone number here at ABC is 800-848-9222. And, you know, I get all these emails during the show. I suppose I shouldn't be looking at my email during the show, but I do. And Lisa said she went on the website to get the discount, and the good night code isn't working. Well, Lisa, that's because I gave you the wrong code. It's free night. Sorry. Isn't that terrible? I gave the wrong code for the buy one, get one free nighttime at the beginning of the show. It's free night. F-R-E-E-N-I-G-H-T. Free night is the code. That's what gets you the free bottle of nighttime, not good night. That was a few weeks ago. So it's free night. Sorry about that. So those of you who did that, well, you'll have to go back to the website. And if you did put your order through and didn't get the free product, just give our office a call on Monday morning, and Pam, my nurse, will be happy to honor that code, the free night code. All right, so we were talking about breast implants tonight. Oh, before we get back to that, I do need to tell you, there was a very interesting study about crime in America that was released just a few days ago. And do you know what the number 77 town in the entire United States out of tens of thousands of towns for crime rate was? The lowest crime rate, that is? Highland Falls. That's right. I'm like an ambassador for Highland Falls now. You know, that's the town that Bobby Fallon has the property. Remember, I've been talking about this for a few weeks. Highland Falls has one of the, it's in the top 100 safest towns in the United States. Surprised me. I mean, I grew up there. There was no crime to speak of. But when they compare it to every single town in every state in the United States, and it comes out number 77, that's pretty good. So Bobby Fallon, Carousel Homes, she is the realtor. She's got that property still, 173 Main Street. She tells me she's got to sell this. She wants to sell this by the end of the summer. 173 Main Street, I think it's like $379,000, something like that. And there's two bedrooms. There's a one bedroom. There's two different apartments. There's an office. It's 0.8 acres. It's less than a mile from West Point. It's incredible. What a deal. If you look at studios in Manhattan, boy, you look in the Upper West Side, you can't even get a studio for under $600,000, $700,000. Here you can have your own property and your business escape from New York. You know, I love New York City, but I do have to say that the garbage is building up in the streets. It's changed in the last few years. You know, we've got to clean up New York. But in the meantime, check out Highland Falls, the 77th safest city, town in America. Give Bobby a call, 845-446-2238, 845-446-2238. That's Bobby Fallon. Ask her about 173 Main Street. Marcia, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi, Dr. Perry. I got saline implants in 1998, and I go every year for my mammography. And last time I went, they had me sign a form releasing them of any responsibility if the implant should rupture during the process of mammography, and it made me a little concerned. So I was wondering what are the chances that could happen with mammography?
Okay, Marcia, you've got 20-year-old saline implants in now, and the statistics are there's about a 1% failure rate for these implants up to year 10. So by the time you get to 10 years, you have about a 10% chance of the implant rupturing. But then it goes up exponentially after that. So You know, a lot of women ask me, and we're getting off topic, and I'll get back on your mammogram topic in a second, but a lot of women ask me, should I take out my saline implants and replace them prophylactically? And the answer is absolutely no, because you never know, the new implants could rupture in 6 months. So you don't want to do that if you've got saline implants. It's a different story if you have silicone gel implants, because they're... we have the same issue of rupture as those implants get old. And I do think it's a reasonable thing to change implants, gel implants at 20 years and maybe even a little earlier than that. But as far as your mammograms are concerned, I have never heard of one rupturing with a mammogram. In fact, I like to show women how durable these implants are, and I kind of stomp on them either on the floor or on my desk when I show women these implants. However, I do have to tell you, that about 3 or 4 years ago, one of those did rupture. When it was a great demonstration, and I was surprised because I didn't think it would happen because I've been doing it to these implants for years and years, but one did rupture. So that was a gel implant. So coming back to your question of mammograms, you know, they're covering themselves medically legally because they're pushing on the implants, but you don't have a choice. And if one ruptures, it ruptures. I don't think it's particularly likely in a mammogram. But let me tell you about something a little more important than that. If you have not been getting MRIs, you should be. Have you ever gotten one of your breasts?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about that, Marcia, because probably the worst thing about breast implants that people don't like to talk about is that they hide the breast tissue when you're having a mammogram. And the studies have shown anywhere from 3% of the breast tissue to 60% of the breast tissue is blocked by the implant when you have a mammogram. So considering the fact that if you have a breast cancer in your breast, it is you will see that with a mammogram 1 to 2 years before you can feel it. And that's the great utility of a mammogram. And you lose that if you have implants that block your breast tissue. So what do? You need to get MRIs. And in fact, the FDA tells women now that if you have implants in, you should get MRIs. And their schedule is something like you get one 3 years after you have the implants in and then every 2 years after. I don't think that's proper. I think what they're looking for is rupture of the implants, silent rupture of the implants. But what I'm looking for is much more important, and that is a breast cancer. And I do think that you should have MRIs at least every other year if you have breast implants in. The bad news is that your insurance company will not cover these, unfortunately. And they do cost between $1,000 and $2,000. But the way I look at breast augmentations and breast implants, Marcia, is very similar to if you drive a car. Do you drive a car?
Yes.
Okay. So you have to buy auto insurance, right?
Yes.
You have to. And it's going to cost you a couple $1,000s a year. Otherwise, you can't drive. It's sort of the same way with breast implants. If you put breast implants in, you have to say to yourself, I'm going to have the MRIs, and if insurance doesn't cover it, I'm going to have to pay for those myself. Because the MRI sees 100% of the breast tissue. It sees right through the breast implant, unlike the mammogram. So how's that for a really long answer to a very simple question?
Well, I appreciate the information. I do have one other question, though.
Yes.
They usually recommend I get a sonogram at the same time because I tend to have cystic breasts. Is there benefit to that, or the MRI is going to show me things that the sonogram is not?
Well, they're different, and there are cases where the MRI is inconclusive, and they get more information from an ultrasound or a sonogram. They're synonyms, by the way. So, and also there are some calcifications that are seen by a mammogram that can't be seen on an MRI. So usually we leave it to a good radiologist to decide whether or not, you know, my advice is you get MRIs, and whether or not they think you should have sonograms and mammograms. In addition, we leave it to the radiologist. And also, your surgeon who has placed the implants should be chiming in, and your gynecologist, because they all have knowledge of this, particular knowledge about you, your breasts, and your history, your family history. It all comes into play. All right, Marcia?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, great. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. Star, what can I do for you? I'm sorry to keep you waiting. What's your wrinkle? Hello? Did we lose Star? Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's continue our topic. So I wanted to talk. We're running out of time. I only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk about this new thing called Galaflex. So a lot of women have breast implants, and what happens is over time, breast implants tend to droop. And, you know, so that's not the best thing if you get drooping. Last week, I saw a woman whose breast implant drifted way over to the side. So instead of it being, you know, on the side of your breast, it was almost underneath her arm. So what do you do in that situation? There's something new, and it's called Galaflex, which is a really very interesting. It's a mesh that we sew in to contain the implant and keep the implants up. Along the if they droop along the crease, and it can reduce or even eliminate the need in some cases for a mastopexy, which is a breast lift, or in this case, I was able to move the implant over so that it made a very complex operation into a much simpler simpler operation with this new substance. It's kind of like a material. It almost looks like cotton material, and it's called Galaflex. There's a bunch of these different materials now. Plastic surgeons have been using these materials like Stratus and acellular dermis and things like that, Alloderm. But the new one is called Galaflex, and it's a really nice way to handle a previously pretty complicated problem. And those of you who have had breast implants drift either down or to the side or sometimes even to the middle, this is a nice approach. In my ear, they tell me that Star is back, but we've got like 30 seconds left. Star, I'm so sorry. I know we kept you waiting, but maybe you could call at the beginning of the show next week. I apologize. We're here for a full hour call at the beginning of the show, but we are out of time. They're going to play the music and pull me right out of the studio. I want to thank Bruce for great engineering and Jennifer for all her hard work with the show. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. By the way, if you do want to learn more about me and about plastic surgery, you can go to perryplasticsurgery.com. That's the website. If you want to learn about the products, it's drperrys.com. And, of course, the Facebook page, facebook.com/Dr. Arthur Perry. Thank you so much. And don't forget, we have that free night is the coupon code. Buy one, get one free for the nighttime. Thanks so much. We'll see everybody 6 o'clock next week. Bye-bye now.